Booyah Yeshua, what a joy it is to speak to you about the things that we believe and why we believe them. This is the second in our series of what we believe and why. And the first, of course, had to be why we believe that the Holy Bible, the authorized King James Version for English-speaking people, is indeed the very Word of God, the full and complete written record of His words. And since Jesus has come, and the ministry of the apostles who were with Him, Jesus chose 12 to be with Him, to establish the doctrine of Messiah, to establish the doctrine of the apostles. Since that time, we have this record preserved by God. And because of that, now we need to test everything. We need to test everything carefully. Does it agree with that written record in the authorized scriptures? And if you ever want to hear that first message about the integrity of the Holy Bible, how we know that it is indeed God's Word, well, you can just call us and ask for it, because this is your radio station. You can call us at 885-4433, 24/7. Hopefully we'll be here to give you answers from the Word of God. Well, this is our second in this series of what we believe and why. And through the ministry on the internet, where we're ministering to a couple thousand people a week around the world, we get lots of questions. And some of these questions are very complex. Some are very simple. Some of them may be elementary and old hat to you. And some of them you might want to give some serious consideration. And some of them almost defy having a human answer. But as always, we go to the Word of God. We have a more sure word of prophecy, and that's the Scriptures. So I want to share some of the questions that, assuming there's someone out there that really doesn't know anything about God. Well, they might have heard of Jesus Christ, but they also heard of Krishna and Buddha. And in this country today, it used to be a Christian country. It was founded as a Christian country for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian religion. But today, America, sadly, has seen the mystery of iniquity become full. And today in America, many people are not God-fearing people. God has so blessed this land, and we're literally drowning in a sea of prosperity, and it's a false prosperity. There's a hard day payday coming soon. But we will look at some of these questions and look to the Word of God. Here's a good question to start off with. What is the purpose or the end or the goal of man? Now, there's a real question for you. Is there a real purpose in life in general, and for me in particular? Man's chief end and purpose is to glorify God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. God didn't want to do it, but he had to. Because God is in the process of restoring all things. If you read the Bible from in the beginning in Genesis to the Amen of Revelation, you find there's only three angels named in Scripture. Lucifer, who was the head of all the worshiping angels. Michael, who was the head of all the warring angels, and Gabriel, who was the head of all the messenger servant angels. And the perfect order of heaven demanded that when the leader of the worshiping angels fell, they all followed their leader. It's not like churches today. Christians in America don't know anything about order. Sometimes it seems that way. There's no apparent leaders because nobody knows how to follow. But it'll be different and heaven. There's a perfect order there, and because of that, Lucifer led the worshiping angels in rebellion. And God is in the process of restoring all things. That's why man was ultimately created. So man's chief end and purpose is to glorify God, to restore that worship which was lost in heaven, to restore true worship. We're going to take the place of the worshiping angels. That's our chief end and purpose, to glorify God. So if God is going to replace worship in heaven, and that's man's chief end and purpose, to glorify God with worship, true worship in spirit and in truth, he had to create him as a creature of vanity. Because you don't get worship that's worth anything out of a robot. So that's why man was created, and the whole creation was made subject to vanity. In the hope that God had that we would see his goodness out of those pits of vanity and selfishness and self-awareness and choose to worship him, for he truly is worth it. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Get in a habit. Start practicing for heaven. Do it all for the glory of God. For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And the other part of it is that man's chief purpose and end, in addition to glorifying God, is that man might enjoy him, be in his presence forever. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. Here's another question. What rule has God given to direct us how we may glorify and enjoy him? Are there rules that God gave us? The Word of God, which is contained in the Scriptures of the Old and New Testaments, the Holy Bible, the King James Version of the Holy Bible, gives us the only trustworthy directions how we may glorify and enjoy him. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that our joy may be full. What does the Holy Bible mainly teach? That's a good question. The Scriptures mainly teach and principally teach what man is to believe concerning God, and what duty God requires of man. Hold fast the form of sound words which you have heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. What is God? Who is God? That's a good question. God is a spirit. God is infinite. God is eternal. God does not change. No change in his being, in his wisdom, in his almighty power, in his holiness. There is no change in his justice or his goodness. And he always tells the truth. For him, it is impossible for him to lie. And that's the reason that if there's a page between the Old and New Testament, you need to take it out, because it's all the Word of God. And just think for a minute, what Bible did Jesus have? What Bible did the apostles have? It's all the Word of God, and God doesn't change. So if you separate the New Testament from the Old Testament, be careful, because God doesn't change. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Canst thou, by searching, find out God? Canst thou find out the Almighty unto perfection? It is high as heaven. What canst thou do? Deeper than hell. What canst thou know? The measure thereof is longer than the earth and broader than the sea. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. He doesn't change, folks. And God said to Moses, I am that I am. And He said, that thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent thee. He doesn't change. He's always been perfect, always will be perfect. He's always been almighty. He always will be almighty. He doesn't change. And be careful if you say, well, that's the way God did it back then, and this is the way God does it now. Be very careful, because God doesn't change. He's a right now God. He always has been a right now God, and He always will be a right now God. That's why He told Moses that He was to tell them that I am has sent thee. God says, I am that I am. He doesn't change, folks. Great is our Lord, and of great power. His understanding is infinite. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within. And they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy. For all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. And the Lord passed by before him, and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and fourth generation. Are there more than one God? I've heard about a lot of gods, some people say. Are there more gods than one? Well, the answer is there is only one true living God. There's many false gods, but there's only one true living God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. One Lord. But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God, an everlasting King, and His wrath. At His wrath the earth shall tremble, and the nation shall not be able to abide His indignation. Here's a good question. What about the Trinity? What does that word Godhead mean? There are three persons in the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And these three are one God, the same in substance, equal in power and glory. And we can only know the Father in the Holy Spirit if we come to know the Son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, the real Jesus. We will take first things first. The main thing, in the short time as we may have left, is to keep the main thing the main thing. We must first get to know the Son. Don't ever forget that. No one can know God unless they know His Son, Jesus Christ, because only the Son can bring you to the Father, and only the Son Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, and baptize you with the Holy Ghost. I hope you'll bear with us, and just for now, take in these simple scriptures regarding the Godhead. We'll maybe address the Trinity sometime later. But the main thing is to keep the main thing, and that means you've got to get to know Jesus, the Son. Otherwise, you'll never get to know the Father. If you think you know the Father without knowing the Son, you're deceived. If you think you know the Holy Ghost without knowing the Son, you're deceived. For there are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. The whole thing about God can be unsettling, maybe even scary. Many people might be curious, but a lot of people have heard about evolution. A lot of people have heard about all kinds of religions. And of course, all those religions think they're right. And a lot of people think things are going pretty good for them. Most people don't think much about God unless they're in trouble. So here's a question. Why should I want to get serious about knowing about God in the Bible? Let's just let a few of the scriptures speak for themselves. According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. What if God, willing to show His wrath and to make His power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted for destruction, and that He might make known the riches of His glory on the vessels of mercy, which He had afore prepared unto glory? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, Let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day, and God said, Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. Let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament, and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and gathering together of the waters called He seas. God saw that it was good. And God said, Let the earth bring forth grass and herb yielding seed, the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. And God said, Let there be lights in the firmament of heaven to divide the day from the night. And let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. Let them be for lights in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule and the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. And God said, Let the waters bring forth abundantly moving creature that hath life, and fowl, that they may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let the fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. God said, Let the earth bring forth living creatures after his kind, cattle, creeping things, and beasts of the earth after his kind. And it was so. God made the beast of the earth after his kind, cattle after their kind, everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. God said, Behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to every thing that creepeth upon the earth wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh Sabbath day, God ended his work which he had made, and rested on the seventh day, Sabbath, from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day, and sanctified it, the Sabbath, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which do appear. God said, Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. And that you put on the new man, which God, after God, is created in righteousness and true holiness. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, and holy in all his works. O Lord, how manifold are thy works! In wisdom thou hast made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. This also cometh forth from the Lord of hosts, which is wonderful in counsel and excellent in working, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, in the upholding of all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall to the ground without your Father, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, You are of more value than many sparrows. Here's a question. If man was created in such a wonderful condition, and the world was just about perfect, the way it sounds, how come all the wars and suffering? How did we come to such a different world that we see today? The answer, in a single word, to that complex question is sin. What is sin? Well, sin is a transgression or violation or disobedience to the law of God. Whosoever committeth sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. What are some of the details of how we got from that very good state of the world to what we live in today, where we see corruption of every form all around us? It's almost as if, indeed, the whole creation is groaning in a travail about sin. Again, the scriptures speak more accurately and most concisely to questions like this. In Genesis 23, for example, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also to her husband with her." Don't forget this, men. Adam was standing right there. The first sin was the sin of passivity. "Gave unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, Adam said, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. Lo, this only have I found, that God hath made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions." That gives some explanation, but what about you and me and the people living today? Again, the scriptures speak more accurately and concisely. God's deal with Adam was not only for himself, but for all humans who come from his seed. All mankind has descended from him by ordinary generation. All sinned in Adam and fell with Adam when he fell in his first transgression. I don't want to give you opinions about these things. The Word of God answers with truth such difficult questions as these. Wherefore, in Romans 5, it says, "As one man, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." This idea of being a sinner seems repulsive. How can one transgress God's laws if one does not even know them? And if sinning is transgressing God's laws, why would anyone want to know God's laws? Well, the answer is that God cannot lie. And every man is a born sinner because Adam was a sinner. How many sins does it take to become a sinner? Only one. And what can you do to make up to God for any sin? You can never do enough. But you see, that's the good news of the gospel. God can and will do it for you if, because he's a conditional God, folks, if you will receive his only provision for sinners, the gospel is that Jesus Christ died for sinners, and He rose again from the dead. It is not true that you or anyone does not know God's laws. Even though they tear them off the courthouse walls and remove them from all the schools, it's still not true that people do not know God's laws. You may not know them all, but I can give you just one little one. And if you're honest, you must admit you are a sinner. Did you ever tell a lie? If you say no, then you're a hopeless liar, even lying to yourself. When you know God's royal law, you will know that everyone is born with this knowledge of good and evil. And then you understand that everyone who ever lived, other than Jesus Christ, was a sinner. Again, let the scriptures speak for themselves. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we now have received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who was a figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God, and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. So another question is this all just a hopeless mess, this truth that all are sinners? The answer is that without Jesus, it is a hopeless mess. And yet there is a blessed hope in Jesus Christ. Listen to these scriptures. And you hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, and murders, and adulteries, and fornications, and thefts, and false witness, and blasphemies. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and hid myself. So he drove out the man, and placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life, wherein in times past he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it's written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Wherefore does a living man complain? A man for the punishment of his sin. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Wherefore, therefore, by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there's no difference. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. Oh, don't think like that. For if there had been a law given, which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid! Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid, yea, we establish the law. For there is one God, and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, under the law, whose fathers and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee, and therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Well, here's a good question. How did Christ, being the Son of God, become man? And the answer is, Christ, the Son of God, became man by taking to himself a true body and a mind or soul, being conceived by the power of the Holy Ghost in the womb of the Virgin Mary and born of her, yet he himself was born without sin. Now, Mary had sin, contrary to what the Pope might tell you, but the Bible says all have sinned, and that includes Mary. The only one that's not included there is Jesus Christ. And the Pope is a liar. The Word of God, it makes him a liar. I'm sorry if that offends you. It's just, who are you going to believe? You're going to believe God, or are you going to believe the Pope? I'll believe God. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. For verily, he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared for me. A virgin espoused to a man, whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and of the virgin's name was Mary. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, Yeshua, the Hebrew word for salvation, for he shall save his people from their sins. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. Now, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, is the only Redeemer for any and all men. Listen carefully to some of the wonderful things this wonderful Redeemer has done. Listen carefully to what he does for his people. Understand, this wonderful things are only for his people. Consider what it means if you know him and he knows you. Not knowing about him, consider what it means to really know him, whom the heavens must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. See that you refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escape not, who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape, if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Since you seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, which to you word is not weak, but is mighty in you, so also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, thou art my son, today I have begotten thee, as he saith also in another place, thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong cryings and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing that he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it, and to establish it even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, the colt, the foal of an ass. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron, thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father have I made known unto you. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood, wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Simeon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophets, as it's written, after this I will return, and I will build again the tabernacle of David which is falling down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up. For the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our king. He will save us. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment. And a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion, Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning. Thou hast the dew of thy youth. The Lord hath sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The Lord at thy right hand shall strike through the kings in the day of his wrath. He shall judge among the heathen. He shall fill the places with the dead bodies. And he shall wound the heads over many countries. He shall drink of the brook in the way. Therefore shall he lift up the head. And she brought forth her firstborn, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your minds. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. And we had, as it were, our faces hid from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling to the ground. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. And therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Which also said, You men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, in whom ye also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that all of which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it the gift of God, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto He called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts. And they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they might receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a new heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you shall keep my judgments and do them. No man can come to me except the Father, which hath sent me, draw him. And I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, And they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Now, would you not like to know how you can know this wonderful Redeemer better and respond to such great love and grace that he extends? And this is probably what our number three in this series will be about, of what we believe. Again, this is your radio station. You can call 885-4433 if you have questions that we've not addressed. Hallelujah, Yeshua.